And but before we discuss this, for us to really appreciate what I'm saying about necessity of God, and when assessing the existence, and we look into the physical world, and we look into ourselves as human beings, when it comes to assessing the necessity of God from that perspective, when we discuss this in a minute, that why God is necessary for these things, I believe, what we have to do is we have to, and I believe you have this, and this is why we've had those previous discussions as well, we have to start with a very humble, sincere position, from a position of sincerity, from a position of internally wanting to understand what's going on, sincerely. There's no baggage, there's no, I have this belief, I'm going to defend it, even if the truth comes, I'm still going to, no. We have this sincere, humble outlook. That is the gateway, that's the doorway to understanding the necessity of God, and really understanding what I'm going to discuss with you today, basically, right? And the reason I say this, bro, is because, look, we've seen many discussions in the park before. Atheists, Muslims, they're both using rational arguments, right? They both have the same tools, right? They're both employing the tools, but they come to two totally different conclusions, right? And that's very interesting, because both of them are using rational faculties, but they come to two different conclusions, because there's something else going on. There's something else which is almost directing our ability to reason and the conclusions we come to. And that's what I want to address first, is because there is this internal compass. And this is why I'm mentioning sincerity, humility.
You're talking about bias as well.
Yeah. I'm saying, for us to have a really productive, sincere conversation, we have to really just have that position internally that I'm open. I've been blessed with these faculties. I've been blessed with the ability to reason and engage. Now let's sincerely engage, just to show gratitude.
As much as you can.
And that's what I'm saying, bro. And this is what's very interesting, bro, is even in the Quran, God out of His mercy, when He engages with the human being, because this is discourse with the human being, these are the words of God, and this is communication for the human being, God addresses this existential reality of the human being. For example, God says, I believe it's, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ هِينُ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٍ مَذْكُورًا. God says, and this is a rhetorical question, هَلْ here is a rhetorical question in Arabic. So this is هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ. Wasn't there a time, God says, upon the human being, talking to you and me, addressing you and me, wasn't there a time upon us human beings that we weren't even a thing mentioned? شَيْءٍ مَذْكُورًا. The word شَيْءٍ is used there, which signifies a thing. So you know, as human beings, when we refer to ourselves, you're a person, I'm a person. Mm-hmm. We're a self. Mm-hmm. I'm an I, you're an I. You're this being. You refer to yourself with that dignity, that respect. But God is saying that there was a period, and the word used here for time is dahar. In the Arabic, the word dahar is very interesting, because it signifies, one of the things it signifies is a very long period of time. Very, very long period of time. For example, in another part of the Quran, God uses the word asr. Wal asr, by time. He swears by time. And asr signifies a very... a rapid type of time, a type of time which is running out. Asr is normally, you probably know, there's the Asr prayer the Muslims pray.
Yeah.
Probably heard of that. Yeah. And that's the time of day where the time is just fleeting by, it's just running out, right? It's going, you notice the day just go to the night, the sky turns dark, right? But here God uses the word dahar. And God is saying, wasn't there a long period of time, you and me, let's speak to ourselves, that you weren't even a thing mentioned? And that's true. We can agree with that. Even as an atheist, you would agree with that. The fact that there was a huge period of history that you yourself weren't even a thing that was mentioned.
Oh, sure.
Yeah?
Sure.
So, and that makes, because the thing with us human beings is, bro, we don't reflect over where we came from or where we're going all the time. Normally we wake up, we look at ourselves in the mirror, and we think, this is me, I've always been like this. Yeah? Seldom do we think about where we came from.
Yeah.
Right? Because when you think about where you came from and where you're going, it's a real reality check for us human beings.
Sure.
The reality
is
we came into existence and we're going to die. Right? And it's a big reality check for us. And God gives us these reality checks in the Quran because it evokes that humility within the human being. Because arrogance comes from thinking that you are the be-all and end-all. There is nothing beyond you. I am the greatest being. I have the ability to understand the world around me. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So God reminds us about our reality, our where we came from. So when God says this, it really brings this humility out. If you're really sincere and you think about this point that I've made, that there was a long period of time, bro, where you didn't even exist. You were not even a thing. Oh, forget person, you weren't even a thing.
The modern human is only about 200,000 years old.
Yeah. No, but think about you as a person.
Yeah.
Just the individual.
But as an individual, of course, yeah. I'm just a speck.
Yeah. And you know what? A majority of the time this existence has been around, you didn't exist.
Yeah.
And there will be a long period of time once you die, but you'll be longer under the ground than you are above the ground. Mm-hmm. Do you understand that point, bro? That brings humility. And then in another part of the Quran, God says, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. And this is very interesting as well. He says, He created man from a drop of fluid, a mingled drop of fluid, right? The sperm and the egg and so on and so forth, right? I don't know the science behind it completely. But the point here is not to understand the science, is to appreciate where we came from. We came from this dirty fluid. And then God says, almost instantly, this creation stands in front of God as a contender, as a challenger. You know, give me proof for your existence. I don't believe you exist. Because it's a very arrogant position when you really think about where you came from and where you're going. Do you understand that point?
Well, if you put it in that context, then it can very much seem arrogant. And I see that with a lot of atheists. They have this, like, well, I have this demand that needs to be met. I have this demand upon, like, the religious people or God, that they need to explain everything. And then I can believe, kind of thing. But I wouldn't characterize my position as arrogant, because...
I'm not saying you're sorry, I was just trying to... And it's for the wider audience as well to appreciate when we engage with atheists generally, the new atheists, the aggressive ones, we just get into the discussion of proofs, and it goes nowhere. They leave the same atheists a bit more angry. You know, you leave the same Muslim a bit more angry towards atheists.
Yeah.
You see? But for us to have a very productive, sincere discussion, and this is why I like talking to you, bro, is because you have that humility and sincerity to engage on that level. Right? You're saying, look, I'm an atheist right now, but I'm open to a discussion, a sincere discussion. And that's why I'm mentioning this. So at the very least, you appreciate the point that I'm making.
No, I appreciate the point you're making, but I think there's also a danger in it. Because it can seem like from what you're doing, is it can give license to religious people to say, well, you know what, this is what I believe, and it kind of just ends there. If I keep questioning, then that can just seem arrogant. Or that can just seem, you know, like I'm demanding too much from God. Who am I to demand something like that?
This is a very good point, bro.
Whereas I don't see that so much as a bad thing. I think, to a certain extent, we have to keep questioning. Just existing in itself, we're kind of questioning all the time. We're kind of curious about the world. We're curious about, like, why we're here. Why am I, you know, why am I in this place? Why am I speaking in this way? Why do I hold these beliefs? Yeah. Why do I have these preferences? That as human beings, we are always already curious about the world that is around us.
And we should be.
And we should be.
It's a part of our nature to be curious.
And what I tend to find with the religious people, and you find it with atheists as well, but you tend to find with the religious people sometimes is that there is like this, there's an aversion to wanting to question. And sometimes it comes from this, you know, this point that you make that, well, it can seem arrogant.
Yeah.
From another perspective, it can just seem like, well, why do I have to question, you know, my existence? I've got the Quran, I've got the Hadith, and that's more than enough, right? And I see that just as a bit of a cop-out.
Can I give you the...
It can just seem like, well, why do I have to question, you know, my existence? I've got the Quran, I've got the Hadith, and that's more than enough, right? And I see that just as a bit of a cop-out.
Can I give you the balance?
Yeah.
So the balance here is, and this is why I said that this is the beginning of the discussion. I was just premising the discussion.
Yeah.
We don't say, okay, this is it. Be humble. Don't ask any questions.
Yeah.
There is a balance that I'm trying to strike here that we need to really appreciate, which is that begin the discussion with that understanding of what you are as a human being, and which necessitates, if you are sincere, to have that sincere position, to then engage rationally, but with that open heart and mind. And then go into the discussion and question and answer those questions and go back and forth and have that discussion. That's very important, bro. So that's the balance. I'm not saying don't ask the questions. I'm saying let's do that. Let's engage on that level, but start with the right foundation.
Sure.
Right? Don't start with, you know, and this is not just arrogant on the atheist, but on a Muslim level side of the spectrum as well. As a Muslim and atheist, or whoever you are having a discussion, start with humility, start with that sincerity, and start with that real desire to really try to learn from each other.
Sure, yeah.
That's the point, bro.
That's very important.
So
that's very, very important. And you don't see that from both sides in this part. You hardly ever see that from both sides.
I mean, there's some really good discussions, but there's some really bad discussions too.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have to have that. And this is what our tradition teaches. You know, when you look at the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, without going off on a tangent, when he would talk to people, bro, you know, he was all about that person. He would face them physically. You know, he wouldn't be talking to them like this. He would be face front on. He would smile. You know, he would engage with the people. You know, and to the point where, you know, all the people thought they were the most beloved to him. Whoever came into his companions, they thought they were the most beloved to him just because the way he treated the people. Unfortunately, we don't have to treat people these days. right? So I really want to begin that discussion with these premises that we're really engaging as human beings. You know, we respect each other as human beings, and we have that open heart and open mind when we get into this discussion.
Sure, yeah.